What in the world are we doing here? Why do you come here and sit so politely in these narrow pews and let strangers and even middle schoolers tell you when to sit, when to stand, when to speak, and when to hush up? Why do you literally let this institution put words into your mouths? Why do you do that? I ask myself these questions constantly. I'm always asking myself, how did this practice of greetings, announcements, passing of the peace, call to worship, hymn, prayer of confession and assurance, children's celebration, scripture, sermon, hymn, prayers, hymn, with, no, offering, thank you, offering. It's a, we do a lot in an hour. Then another hymn, right? No, offering, prayers, hymn, benediction. Coffee and tasty treats. How did this come to be the corporate response to the stories of Moses and Hannah and Jesus and the Marys? There is nothing in the Bible about pipe organs or stained glass windows. We have a lot of information in the Bible about how to worship at a temple that will never be rebuilt in Jerusalem. And our Psalms give us lots of encouragement to sing and dance with joy and use our harps and our trumpets and our tambourines. But Jesus, are you correcting my speech? Liars?
No, liars.
Liars. She's calling me a liar. No. Ah. Harpy things. Harpy things. Yeah, there are a lot of harpy things. And trumpets. So we got the musician is weighing in on the Psalms here. Thank you. But Jesus told us to tear down any institution that exists for its own benefit only. He didn't come to build a church. Tear it down if it exists only for itself. Pray in private. Give away everything that you have to be in service to God through service to others. I mean, I know, right? I went to seminary. I know how this happened. I know why we do all this historically. But the Gospels are constantly pressuring me to ask again and again, what are we doing here? Now, we explained to the kids, and you heard in Scripture, what we're doing today is celebrating Pentecost. That's why we're all wearing red. Thank you. Got our Pentecost banners up, flowers that look like flames. That's what we're doing today. And in many churches, Pentecost is celebrated as the birthday of the Christian church, because here's what else happened in the story. We have this miracle of languages, where everyone can understand everyone. And then Peter gets up to preach, and he says, this is the fulfillment of scripture and prophecy, and it's so compelling, this combination of miracle and preaching, that the burgeoning post-Easter Jesus movement receives a huge influx of newly baptized followers. The first Christian communes form, and the church is born. Now, we are invited as a church to a birthday party, but it's not this week, and it's not in celebration of the Christian church. You've been reading about it in your e-blast, bulletins, newsletter, Facebook, and flyers, including in today's. It is the 20th anniversary celebration of AMIS, a mid-Iowa organizing strategy. AMIS is an alliance of 30 churches and social service agencies, kind of between Des Moines and Ames, including Ankeny. We are one of the 30. And all together, we represent about 10,000 people in central Iowa. we are together with 10,000 people in central Iowa. So all the details are in your bulletin about time and place, and I just want to use this time to invite you again to join me next week at Plymouth UCC for this celebration. Now, you might be thinking, using your very nice inside your brain voices, Gebbie, you want us to come to church and pray on our own and come to committee meetings and come to workshops and help teach godly play and sing in the choir and visit our elders and give money to the church and give money to other causes and set God's table and bring food to Food at First and learn how to preach and give witness. And you're already asking all of that on top of our very busy lives with family, friends, and work. And now you're asking us to give up a Sunday afternoon in the spring. A Sunday afternoon in the spring to all tromp down to Des Moines for some kind of meeting show with a bunch of strangers. Yeah, you bet I am. Look at what happens in today's story on Pentecost. The disciples are gathered with fellow Jews for a harvest festival. Pentecost is another Jewish festival that we have made our own. It was a harvest festival, and to this day it both celebrates spring as well as the gift of the Ten Commandments in Jewish communities. So they're gathered, much as they had been on Palm Sunday for Passover. Our disciples aren't there with their regular community. No, it's this international gathering. They're there with Egyptians and Libyans, Mesopotamians and Pamphylians. They are gathered together with people who share their faith, but come from very different communities and cultures. And then something happens. There is a ruckus. It's a strong Midwestern plains wind that rushes in and overwhelms all of their senses at once. They see something, a light that is new to them, and they only know how to describe it by saying it was like tongues of flame. And instead of being rendered silent by this astounding happening, they are moved to speak. And not only speak, but somehow in an unprecedented and impossible way, they can understand each other across all languages with complete clarity. It's the Holy Spirit at work, that undefinable trickster third element of the divine. The gift of Pentecost is not the birth of the church. It is the gift from God of people who gather together around a common faith and were moved to speak and so were heard. It's a gift we can continue to receive today. We can continue to receive the gift of speaking truth and being heard, but only if we go, like the disciples, out to a community to be with people from different places and different cultures. Yesterday, about 24 of us gathered in the fellowship hall with Amos's lead organizer, Liz Hall. If you were there yesterday, raise your hand, identify yourself. So that's about 10% of our congregation attended this training yesterday morning about Amos. And I think the main takeaway was that when we share our stories, the stories of the pressures that our families are dealing with, when we share them in community, that is the first step to relieving those pressures. And not just for ourselves, but for the other families, which are all other people, in central Iowa. If you look at that flyer, I think on the back there's a list of Amos's accomplishments over the last 20 years. They are broad and they are meaningful. And every single one of those accomplishments that we celebrate next week started with one person choosing to come out of isolation and fear to share their story. Not to make a pitch for a specific issue, Not to say, hey, I want to gather with you and I want to tell you what we're going to do. No. Individuals in churches and social service agencies like ours choosing to sit in a circle face to face and merely talk about their lives. Paul, in that letter to the Corinthians that Ed read, says that the gifts of the Spirit are as diverse as we are. We receive the gift to speak wisdom and hear truth, to experience faith, and to offer healing to others. And he also says, though, that we know our gifts are of the Spirit when we use them for the common good. So I know how busy you are. I know how stressed out you are. Even our retirees, my goodness, your calendars are more packed than they were when you were working people raising children. Right? I know how busy you are. I know that for some of you, this hour on Sunday morning, maybe for most of you, this hour on Sunday morning is the only time when you can let your brain wander and you can unclench your jaw. And that's exactly why I want you to come with me next week. Because let me tell you what that flyer does not describe. This Amos birthday gathering next week will be multi-generational. It will be multiracial. It will be multigendered. There will be people there who are very wealthy and very poor, people with limited access to education, and those of us who have perhaps had too much. There will be people who need wheelchairs and hearing assistance devices, and those of us who don't need them yet, because we will all need them if we're lucky enough to get that old. We will be gathered together with people who are Christian, who are Jewish, who are atheist, who are agnostic, who are angry, and who are hopeful. And we're gathering together across all of those differences to serve our shared common good. We come together in spite of all those differences because of our shared needs as humans on this earth. In other words, the Amos birthday gathering next week will look more like the beloved community that we yearn for than we can ever look like here alone as Ames United Church of Christ. Here are two clipboards. Please sign your name if you're able to attend next week, if you think you will be able to. If you need a ride, or you might be able to give a ride, just keep passing them up and down the aisles. Doesn't matter what else is happening here in worship. Just keep passing them on. What are we doing here? We are preparing. We are preparing through Sunday worship and godly play and even our committee meetings to do as Moses and Jesus and the disciples did before us. It is to leave what is comfortable and renewing and familiar to us to go into the wilderness space to find God. And oh, what we will experience when we get there. A rushing wind of truth that will ignite, that will birth in us a fire for justice that is unquenchable and baptizes us again into the strength of the love that can never die. Amen.